You got your Bible this morning, I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Now, I want to share with you this morning a funny subject or the idea. An invitation given to you by Jesus himself. An invitation given to you by Jesus Christ himself. I penned one verse there, verse 16, and then naturally, you know, I'm going to back up and bring you up to speed. But in thinking today of Grandparents' Day and the opportunity that many of you have to still enjoy your grandparents, and others who, like myself, have all gone to be with the Lord, it reminds me of the goodness of God and how he has blessed us in so many ways. And just starting in the opening assembly this morning for Sunday school, that very thought was brought up, the goodness of God, what he's done. Now, he's blessed us so much in so many different ways in our hearts and our lives. And I tell you all the time, I'm so thankful he put me right here in George County, Mississippi, you know, and that I don't have to live out there in some of that wickedness, and it's getting bad enough around here, but, you know, it's really terrible. When a person can't even express to somebody in sorrow, I'm praying for you without being ridiculed, something's wrong with our society. Something wrong with our country when it reaches a place like that in our hearts and our lives and what we're doing. If I put these on, I can function a whole lot better, I think. But Paul, in his writings to the Romans here, is wanting them to understand that even though he can't come to them because they have kept him away from Rome, but at the end of Acts, it just abruptly quit, and then Romans started. But I want you to understand that Paul is not going to Rome because he's not able to. He's confined where he's not able to in his heart and his life, and they're giving him a hard time. But here's how he writes his letter to the Romans. And talking with them concerning that, he said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. A servant, if you look to the way that word Greek and Hebrews use there, means a person who cares for the needs of others. And Paul saw himself as a servant, but he saw himself as a servant to Jesus Christ. And he said, I was called to be an apostle or a follower of Jesus and was separated unto the gospel of God. He knew his calling. He understood where he came from. He knew how he got to where he was. And he's trying to achieve what God intended for him to do in his heart and his life. And he's coming down here now to a place in his heart and his life where he wants to, more than anything else, go to Rome. And eventually he does get to go to Rome, but it ain't the best of circumstances. You remember that trip to Rome? They put him on a ship and sent him off. What happened? The weather come up, the ship broke apart, he rode a plank into the shore. You know, got bit by a snake, you know, and got back on that ship, went back down. A lot of things happened on his way down there, him shackled and chained. But to think that, and this week, last weekend and this weekend, we've had pro football players to spit in the face of their competitors. You know, what sportsmanship is in that, you know? What are they saying concerning that? And I know Paul had to feel some eerie feelings in his heart and his life from the way that he was done, you know, and the things that they put him through in his heart and his life. And the only reason they didn't beat him to a pulp was he claimed his Roman citizenship. And they had to back off from him. But he said, I am separated unto the gospel of God, which he hath promised aforetime by the prophets in the Holy Scripture. He goes back and said, this is that same Jesus that was foretold to you back in all the prophets, you know, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all the things we've been studying, all the things, talking about the coming day when the Lord was going to make his presence known. What are you and I looking forward to today? The coming of the Lord. I hope you are prepared for that. Hope you're ready for that. He said, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David. He come from the bloodline according to the flesh, and it was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The proof that Jesus was who he said he was when the Father resurrected him. After 3 days, he came forth out of that grave and ascended back to be with the Father. How did he do that? He did that by the power of his Father in heaven to resurrect him. He said, and by whom we have received grace and apostleship. What is grace? God's unmerited favor. And toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All of many years ago, Christ died for my sins on that cross. Died for your sin and all those that have gone before us. Ones that have chosen him, one that rejected him. He said, according to the Spirit of holiness. Kind of life that we live. And by the resurrection from the dead. You know, when you accept God's salvation, and you are invited by God to some privileges no one else, unless they're a child of God, has. Number one, you are invited to become a part of the family of God. You think about that for a minute. We are members of Bexley Baptist Church or whatever church it is that we are participating in, and we are part of that family. But one day, either through death or the rapture, we're going to be part of the family of God. We're going to have the privileges of sons and daughters as we stand before the Lord. Number two, he said, we'll become holy people. Think about that, holy people. As good as we want to be today, we still are sinners. We have to be forgiven. You know? But he said, we'd be holy people. And why? Because we have received the grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for the name of Jesus in our hearts and our lives. When we pray, we want an answer, don't we? But you know, Paul in his teachings here is telling us, when we pray about a concern, don't be surprised how God answers. I just told you, you know, Paul prayed and asked God. They didn't go to Rome. He heard good things about what had happened. But that church of the Romans there, down there, simply were made up of people that perhaps had the day of Pentecost, and the power of the Lord came down, and all those that were saved that day. And perhaps they had been in one of these other cities, Corinth, Ephesus, or Philippi, or some of these places where Paul had already been, and Paul had established the churches and stuff. And in doing so and caring for them in these different places, he had a longing deep down inside of him that said, I want to go to Rome. I want to be able to tell the Romans the good news of Jesus Christ. those that have believed and those who have rejected. He said there's a ministry there that I could do great things for the glory of God. He said I could encourage the church that's established there. I can strengthen them and help them to grow and mature and become what I want them to become, what the Lord wants them to become. And he said also for that lost world out there, I can do great things for them. But you know, Paul prayed, he asked the Lord, if he could, let him visit Rome. But when he finally arrived, he came as a prisoner, shackles and chains. He was slapped in the face. He was shipwrecked, bitten by that snake. God's way of answering our prayers are far from what we expect. Now, let's just pick out one of those things, okay? All those natives have taken them in. They've been rowed to shore on a piece of lumber or something. They made it to shore. They're all safe. But it's raining. It's cold. Nasty. And they build a fire. And Paul's gathering wood for that fire. And as he gathers wood and he's putting the wood on the fire, out of the fire comes a viper or a snake, poisonous snake. And it bites Paul, and he's just dangling, trying to get it off of his hand. And those natives are watching these folks. Who are they? They just come washing ashore. We don't know anything about them. We're being good to them, and we're trying to help them by helping them get a fire going, and we're going to provide for them some stuff to sustain them till they can get on their feet again, you know? They were good to him. But that fella, he's some kind of god or something. He ought to done be dead by now. That's a poisonous snake. What God used that poisonous snake? Why did he let that snake bite Paul? To show the natives what? That he was God. But and did this man know Paul's not God? He's just a servant of God in his heart and his life. And our prayers sometimes are far from what we expect, what God's doing. He said, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Then he addresses it to all that be in Rome and beloved of God. Called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. The world is listening, folks. People know outside the doors of our church what God's doing for us and how he's blessing us and our hearts and our lives. I want to be like Paul in verse 8. I want to stop right here, and I want to thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. And the blessing that you've been to me and the ministry I've had. I've been here over 40 years, you know. And we've seen tough, tough times, and we've seen some of the best of times. God at work, not in the life of Brother Larry, but in the life of you, to help you to grow and become everything God wants you to be. And he said, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in prayer. Some of you feel like you cannot do anything in service for the Lord, but all of us can pray. All of us can seek God's face. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel, that without ceasing, I mention you always in prayer. Making request, he said, I ask for specific things. If by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. He's determined. He's going to Rome now. They just come bleed or blister. They move over. He's going. He's got that made up in his mind. He said, I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts to the end that ye may be established. You know, more than anything else, God wants us to be established. If you look that word up in the Greek and the Hebrew, we put some roots down. That we understand what's coming in us, with us in our hearts and our lives. To be a part of the calling that God has for us in our hearts and our lives. And that's why we establish ourselves. We find us a church home. We serve the Lord there. We do what we can with the spiritual gifts that God has given us in preparation that one day, we get to be with Him in heaven. That is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. You know, what he's saying there is that when we establish ourselves in the faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we become brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, and we're no longer separated, but we're now mutual in our faith. He said, now I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. That's a quote that Paul uses quite often. He used that through Thessalonica. He used it in several other places. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Oh, he wants more than anything in the world. Get over and preach to that bunch of sinners. He wants to see that church grow. He wants to see that community saved. He wants to see Rome blossom. And he's got the same feelings and thoughts that I hope you and I have together as we work to accomplish God's will here at Bexley, is to establish ourselves, know what the Lord wants us to do, move in the direction he wants to be obedient to his will, and put down some roots if are necessary. He said, I might have some fruit among y'all. He wanted to see people saved. Verse 14, he said, I am a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. You know, all these different places that he'd been, all the situation. And then he included the barbarians. Because what did the barbarians do? They took care of them for about 2 or 3 months there. They stayed there. They got the ship, tried to repair it. It wasn't worth repairing to the next ship that come along. They caught a ride with it. These barbarians gave them all the supplies and stuff they needed, and they went on their journey down to Rome. And Paul said, I'm a debtor to these folks for what they've done to me in my heart. Now here he is, you know, a prisoner, and all he's thinking about is how much gratitude, how much thanks he owes these individuals. He said, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He said, I'm ready. I want to come. I want to preach the gospel. I want to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And then verse 16, the verse I wanted you to put your finger on earlier. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let that sink in for just a moment. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of what he did for me. You know, if he hadn't had mercy on me, if his grace hadn't abounded on me, I know where I'd be today. I'd either be in penitentiary, I'd be in a cemetery somewhere or another, because of my foolish way of life at that time. But the Lord had other plans for me. And, you know, I didn't know those plans. I worried and I thought and I said, Lord, don't send me to Timbuktu. You know, let me get close enough to mama's so I can get back and get something to eat every once in a while. Don't send me way off somewhere or another. He didn't. He sent me right on up the road, you know. And my heart and my life. But you know, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. You've got to profess him. in order for him to be the Lord of your life. Follow that again. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If you've been ashamed to step out and walk down that aisle and say before God and man, I take Jesus as my Savior. Follow him in New Testament baptism and be a part of the family of God. He said, it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power that saves you from an eternity in hell through Jesus Christ. To everyone who does what? Believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. See, when Paul was on that road to Damascus, he's a Jew. And what's he coming down to Damascus to do? To stomp out, burn the churches, kill all the Christians, or either carry them back in prison with him. And he said here, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or to the Gentile, you and I. You know, and if Jesus hadn't been willing to go to that cross and die, we wouldn't have a hope today. We wouldn't have the assurance. And I'm going to stand here before you as your pastor this morning and tell you again and again and again and again, as long as the Lord leads me in this pulpit, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm ashamed of the way I've served the Lord in so many areas. But he's been so gracious. He's been so merciful to come back and say, Larry, the wipe it clean. Slate slick. It's forgiven, forgotten. It's over. He said here that for us, that is salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Then follow this close, and I'll close. He said, for therein is the righteousness of God. What have I taught you righteousness is? That which is morally proper in the sight of God. Doing the right thing in the right way. Righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I've never seen God, never seen his Son, but I've experienced his Son. And in experiencing him, I come to a realization who he is and what he wants to do in my heart and my life. Show me time and time again his will for my life. You know, I don't think I'm unique in that. I think God's same way with you. He's made a visit to you. He said to you, this is what you need to do. This is where I want you to be. This is what I want you to do. You know what I've experienced in the last 6-8 months? An obedient group. That every time that God has revealed himself, and he didn't always reveal it through me, he did it through many of you in many different ways. But every time he revealed himself, guess what? You responded. What have you seen from that? The glory of the Lord. God as he moves in your heart and your life. I want you to know this morning that God himself is sending you a personal invitation through his Son Jesus, who come and lived and died on that cross, was buried in that tomb, and God raised him up 3 days later. 40 days later, he ascended back to the Father, and he's interceding. He's praying for you right now, and he's praying for me, that we will become his likeness and do his will for the days that we have left here on this earth. That invitation is simple. Whosoever will may come. That includes everybody. Nobody's excluded. We're all included if we only believe and we only let him be the Lord of our lives. Will you pray with me? So you bow your head and close your eyes. Brother Ernie's going to come in a moment. We'll have a verse of invitation. That invitation is coming directly to you this morning from Jesus himself. And it's saying to you, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And he'll give us the peace and the joy and the comfort of knowing. He said, don't be ignorant. Listen to what I'm giving you. Look at the opportunity that's there. Trust me. Let me be the Lord of your life. I love you so much that I went to that cross and died for you. Maybe you're here this morning. You hear that call. You know God's dealing with you. And he's just, for days now, he's been nudging you and encouraging you and wooing you. We call that being under conviction, knowing what you need to do, but having the courage to step out and do it. As God draws you this morning, woos you, and shows you what he wants you to do, would you be obedient? You're not saying no to me or no to this church. You're saying no to God. But I believe he wants to establish you. He wants to put down your roots and let you be a part of the family of God right here. Maybe your membership somewhere else, and he's saying to you, move that letter. Come on, statement of your faith, whatever. Get to be a part of the family of God. If you'll listen, if you'll heed, and you'll do what he says for you to do, he'll wipe that slate clean for you. And you can have the absolute assurance of knowing when that trumpet sounds and that shout comes, those graves begin to flip over out there. We're going to be out and meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But without that assurance, it'll be eternal damnation. Listen to the voice of God. Hear what he has to say. Do what he tells you to do. And we'll give him the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. What are we going to sing, Brother Ernie?